Good morning and welcome to Holy Cross Online. I'm Pastor Adam. Glad to greet you for service today and lead you through parts of it. Pastor Brian will be preaching for us today. It is good to be gathered together in this way, but know that this isn't the only place where we gather. If you got to be a part of it this past week, love that you did. If you didn't get to yet, please join us for prayer on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Find the slot that fits for you. We'd love for you to join us in prayer and be in those regular disciplines that we know that will be of benefit for us in connecting us to Jesus. That email came out last week. We're going to send another one in case you missed it. It'll come on Monday with those links. Hang on to those. It'll be the same every week. So we will use those and continue in prayer together. Also know that in that Friday email, you got resources for your family. If you've got elementary, confirmation age, or high school age students in your home to equip you, videos and discussion pages to help you be disciplers in your own home, know that those will continue to come out each and every week. We want to equip you to be those disciplers and leaders of the faith in your own home. So please use those things. Also, for you adults, you're not left out. In the email this week for Sunday morning, you'll notice that there are discussion questions connected to the sermon for this week. So please use those to continue to be in discussion. We find that's an amazing way to take the time that you spend now in worship and have it extend and grow into the week ahead. Those are the things I wanted to share with you, but we're here to worship. So let's turn our hearts to our Heavenly Father that we might pray to Him and worship today. Oh God, Heavenly Father, You allowed Your Son to be disgraced and to die so that You could give grace and life to us and to our fallen world. Grant to us and to all Your faithful people the fruits of this sacrifice. You have rescued us from the danger of everlasting death. So give us gladness and joy, both now and into life everlasting, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's sing.
The strife is o'er, the battle.
invite you now into a time of confession. God desires here that we love and that we trust him above all things. Yet the reality is that fear and worry fill our hearts, that doubt often creeps in, that we lose sight of our Heavenly Father without a clear knowledge of his love and his grace. Our own hearts, they turn inward, failing to love those around us very well. So church, let's confess our sin together, allowing our Heavenly Father to remove the burden and the weight that we unknowingly carry. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today, admitting our failure to love and to trust. Our failure to love and trust you above all things. When fear and doubt and selfishness, they have overtaken our hearts, we've lost sight of you. Forgive us so quickly retreating to self-sufficiency rather than stepping out into the self-denying life that you provide. Forgive us for thinking only of ourselves and not our neighbor as well. Father, we pray that by your great mercy, you would once again deliver us. Deliver the forgiveness that we so need and desire. In Jesus' name, we agree and we say together, amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, though death and fear do abound, in Christ, the story of our lives is already written. The work of the cross and the tomb, in that Jesus has paid the price for your sins, has purchased you for God. So as a servant of the word, I announce to you, God's grace is for you. Be assured that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me. I am riddled with the world's disease, of taking what I want and turning it into a need. I am flesh and blood, never good enough. You poured out your love to cover o'er this dust. Senseless love, that you would come to join with us and drink this cursed cup, redeeming all that we've undone. We are flesh and blood, never good enough. You poured out your love to cover all this dust. Mercy reigns on all our shame. Washes all the stain away. is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave. Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave.
Our scripture reading for today is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." These are the words of our God.
Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. We continue to relish in the good news that death was arrested. The death that Jesus died was to be our own, but rather than eternal death, friends, in Christ we have eternal life. And so we proclaim with confidence and in defiance of the enemy, not today, grave, not today, death, not today, Satan, because Jesus gets the last laugh. Let me ask you, when was the last time you had a really, really good laugh? I mean the ones that are like full-on belly laughs, the one that you can't contain the tears, the one where it's hard to catch your breath, the one where high-pitched giggles and snorting and drooling are common. When was the last time you had one of those? I'll be honest, it's been a long time in our home. Now, I know that most of us know this, that laughter is soul medicine, but it seems to be in short supply lately. Like a veil of sadness is covering all things, a knowledge that life is never going to go back to the way it used to be, and like a funeral pall has wrapped us in the truth of sadness and grief. I suspect that your household is a lot like my household. That my household isn't the only one that feels the veil of this sadness. You know, there are certain stories that I love to come back to again and again and again. They are They are stories which speak of death and resurrection, that speak of old life and new life, stories which speak of darkness that are overrun with light. They are stories that whisper the truth of the Gospels. C.S. Lewis is famous for having said this. He says, "The ripples of the resurrection have touched every corner of the world and every inch of imagination, so that every story written and not yet written, those stories echo the great story." In other words, every story has the echoes of Christ's defeat of death and sadness. It's no wonder then that I so often return to the Chronicles of Narnia, to Harry Potter, and to the Lord of the Rings. And since I'm asked to be in my home for this extended period of time, I thought it appropriate to re-engage with those stories. And so every night, my family after dinner, we gather in our living room where we are rereading Harry Potter out loud. And in some beautiful way, I love that this story has motivated us to simply be together on a regular basis, and to allow our imaginations to move outside of the very real world of death tolls and lockdowns. It is, in my opinion, an embrace of St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, I understand that St. Paul is speaking of Christ and his kingdom, not Harry Potter and Hogwarts, but I wonder if every story, as C.S. Lewis says, has an echo of the resurrection, then perhaps this story and this moment allows our minds to wander into the resurrection through our imagination. And of particular interest to me has been a re-engagement with The Lord of the Rings, written by J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, just by a show of hands, how many of you have actually read The Lord of the Rings? I have no idea how many of you have your hands up, but let's just say that I'm going to believe every single one of you. The story of The Lord of the Rings really is quite simple. It's the journey of Frodo Baggins, who is a hobbit from the Shire, who's been burdened to take the Ring of Power, which is pure evil, which he inherited from his uncle Bilbo, and he's to take it to Mount Doom to destroy it in the land of Mordor. And this journey will probably require him to give his very life in order for evil to be eradicated. So, let me just stop there for a second and ask. Let me just ask, can you hear the echo? A journey that's going to require one to give their life so that evil can be stopped and the world righted. Huh. Not really a stretch, is it? Now, along the way, Tolkien, probably without thought, he included some incredible gems of truth which ring so loudly for you and me today. Take, for example, the wizard Gandalf's observation. He says this, "It is a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door, because you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." It's true, isn't it, that none of us really know what the future holds. And so every time we step out of our door, every time we wander out, there's a great sense of adventure, but also risk. You know, I was caught off guard about 4 nights ago when I read these words out of the first book of The Lord of the Rings. "Is it not a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt for something so small?" These words are uttered by a man named Boromir. He's a member of Frodo's Fellowship of the Ring, and he's making a comment about that Ring of Power, about this pure evil, this ring that is so small, but it causes so much fear and doubt, that this ring has cast a shadow over the world, a veil that has covered over all things joyous and glorious. That's how we feel in our home. Is it not a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and so much doubt over such a small thing, a tiny, microscopic virus? It's like a shadow over the world, a veil over happiness. Even when we try to not think about it, it's always there, not unlike the eye of Sauron in The Lord of the Rings. Now, Tolkien was a Christian. And incidentally, a major player in C.S. Lewis's conversion to Christianity. And I've often wondered if he had lodged, perhaps unknowingly, in his imagination, the picture of the disciples huddled together, lost in fear and in doubt, as memories of blood-stained ground. Memories of the limp body of their rabbi, the smell of the tomb, and the echoes of crucify. I wonder if he had lodged in his imagination at the writing of this story, the picture of the disciples who were caught in fear and doubt. And somewhere in the recesses of heart and mind, the maniacal laughter of the enemy's triumph, that the death of Jesus would cast a shadow over the world, a veil of sadness pulled taut over joy, the one they thought the king dead. It is indeed a strange fate. And yet, sisters and brothers, as we aptly heard last week from Pastor Adam, Jesus' life wasn't arrested by death. No, Jesus' death arrested death itself. The instrument of the devil's warfare would be the very weapon of his undoing. Oh yes, the king would enter into the grave not to be conquered by it, but to conquer it. The king would descend into hell, not as judgment, but in order to judge the enemies of God's kingdom. The king would enter into burial clothes, not to be contained by them, but rather to rend them as new garments for you and for me. You see, Easter Sunday, sisters and brothers, is the day that life began. It was the day when all sad things come untrue, the day when the shadow flees and the veil is pulled back. It's the day that corrects the course of all things broken, us included. You see, Easter is the day when Jesus gets the last laugh. And that laughter breaks the darkness, and it is like water to the parched soul. You see, the resurrection is our reality even now. And we should be confident of this and defiant in the face of the enemy. But friends, it's true, isn't it, that you and I, we live between that first resurrection and the second resurrection, when Christ Jesus will come again and all of the dead will rise just like he did. You see, we live in the very certainty of the resurrection now, but we have not yet taken hold of it for ourselves. And so for those of us who are living between the first and the second resurrection, for those of us who feel like the shadow of darkness, the veil of sadness, the shadow of death pressing on every side, what are we to do in those moments? I would suggest this. We hang on to hope. As the elf Legolas says, hope is oft born when all is forlorn. Or as St. Paul says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of the world who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring those who have died with Christ too. In other words, even though it feels like all is lost, we are to take heart, for Christ will raise us, body and spirit, to be with him forever. In this moment between the first and the second resurrection, we hang on to the words of the prophet Isaiah. He says, on that mountain, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears of all faces. He will remove the people's disgrace from all of the earth, for the Lord has spoken. You see, there is a day coming when King Jesus will destroy the veil, the shroud of death, and he will remove all tears. In other words, a day is coming when all sad things will come untrue. See, we long for what is to come with a homesickness of sorts. As John described it there in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city of God coming down out of heaven, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning and no more crying and no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See, friends, sisters, and brothers, the resurrection still matters because tears still matter. And I long for that day when I, in Christ, will have walked through death into life. Or as Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings says, an end? Oh, the journey doesn't end in death. Death is just another path and one that we all must take. The gray rain curtain of this world, it rolls back and it turns into silver glass. And then you will see it. The white shores and beyond, a far green country under a swift sunrise. I don't know about you, but I long for the swift sunrise of eternity, when Christ will be the only light that we need. We long for the day when the veil is pulled back for good, when the shadow of sadness bows to the joy of the Lord. You know, friends, I have the rare and the distinct privilege to coach church leaders around the country. And several years ago, I had a youth worker who was in the greater Houston, Texas area as a part of that cohort. And every week we would gather for prayer, we'd gather for encouragement to seek what it was God was doing in the midst of our everyday lives. It was an opportunity to be on a journey, to be in a fellowship of sorts. And it took months, but eventually Nathan revealed to this fellowship of friends that his son Sam was diagnosed with a rare degenerative disease. A disease that would not let his son see past his 12th birthday. And on that day, there was a great shadow that settled into that fellowship, a veil of sadness pulled taut over our joy. It was a day when we embraced the words of St. Paul to weep with those who weep. Nathan, however, though through tears, he was not without hope. You see, he openly shared with us his longing for the new heavens and the new earth, where tears and sadness and mourning would disappear, when the shroud which enfolded his son would be destroyed. See, Nathan longed for the day when his little boy Sam would once again run and jump and play, and above all, laugh. The day when Sam would laugh at death, when he would laugh at the enemy when he would laugh knowing that he had a victory. See, Samwise Gamgee, Frodo's faithful friend, the one who was his companion on the entire journey, even unto death, found himself alive when he should have been dead. And there, when he woke up to quote this new life, sat Gandalf. And this is their exchange. Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself. Tell me, is everything sad becoming untrue? What is happening in the world? A great shadow has departed, said Gandalf. And then he laughed, and the sound of it was like music, or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, the thought came to Sam that he had not heard laughter, the pure sound of merriment, for days upon days without count. In these days, sisters and brothers, when the shadow of sadness feels heavy, may we look to the resurrection that is to come. And may we laugh. May we laugh. May we laugh at death, the grave, and the enemy. And may the drooling and the giggling and the snorting, may it be abundant in your life and mine. And so may the joy of the Lord be yours. And may laughter help see all the sad things become untrue. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and mine in Christ today and every day. Amen.
Let's confess our common faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We'll put the words up for you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Having confessed our common faith, those words that remind us of the hope of the resurrection, the life of the world to come, and also of the God who is with us even here and now in the midst of it, it should give us assurance that the prayers that we'll now pray are to a God that really does care and is so ready to listen. So let's pray together. Loving Father, you give us a view of the end, of where all of this eventually leads, of all the things that will become untrue in the end. So we need not be afraid, but Lord, there are times when we and when those who we walk with are afraid. Lord, as they grieve the death of recently passed away loved ones, or as they mourn anew in the face of loneliness that this isolation has magnified, death is all around, but Lord, lead us not to be afraid. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace, your undeserved love for us, this love that would lead us to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In your mercy, put an end to this epidemic. Make this become untrue. Grant relief to those who suffer, especially those whom we name before you now. And Father, care not just for those, but also sustain all medical personnel in their labors and give your people a desire to serve you by serving those around them. Lord, our Heavenly Father, it's not just about us, but you have gathered us together around the word of your Son and the sacraments that he instituted along with other believers. Have mercy on every Christian church that is stressed by this illness. In the midst of chaos and of change, give us the peace which this world cannot give. Preserve us from fear and from foolish thoughts. Refresh our generosity and love for one another. And while we exercise this obedience to those in authority and wise caution that leads us to be separated from one another, help us find comfort in being united by the Holy Spirit and in the reality that we are never divided from Christ, who is the head of the church of which we are the body. Lord, help us to hold fast to these things. God of all might and of all wisdom, give to all first responders and all frontline workers, from those in fast food and grocery stores to those who defend and protect us and put themselves in harm's way, give them a spirit of cooperation. Give them compassion for those who in their own stress make these people's jobs even more challenging. Give them humility in their work and joy in knowing that you see and guide every good work that you have prepared for them. And Father, we come not just with requests, but also with thanksgiving today for the generosity of so many as they've given to their neighbors, to this church, and to the churches around our community, that emergency food can be provided to the tune of almost 500 meals a week. Father, we thank you for the ways that you continue to lead us to give and to put resources in our hands and in our bank accounts so that we can be the blessing that models you to the world. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you continue to provide. Father, we lift all of these requests before you in the name of Jesus. We agree and we say together, amen. Now would you join me in gathering the thoughts of our hearts and the things that we don't even know how to express, and all together into that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The God to whom we pray is not only powerful, but the one that is with us in it all. This next song really lays that out well for us. Sing it with a smile and with joy on your face.
Everybody has trials and temptations. Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my gone. I see grace on every horizon, and forever and ever his heart is my home. Everybody has fears, everybody got worries. Everybody knows sorrow, devastation. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon, and forever and ever His heart is my home. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. How He has proven it over and over. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for He is faithful. How He has proven it over.
And so, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. Now, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.